The forecast for today, lots of sunshine. We'll have a high near 80. In Kenosha Circuit Court, 17-year-old Jamari Cook is now facing charges of hiding a corpse and operating a vehicle without owner consent. This in connection with the death in July of Olivia McKay, whose body was found in Mount Pleasant. Assistant Kenosha County District Attorney Jessica Krajarik requested $20,000 bond for Cook, noting the serious nature of the allegations might make him a serious flight risk if he's not behind bars.
Additionally, all scattered through this criminal complaint as well as his statement to law enforcement is that he is transient, that essentially everything he owns he had with him that night of the murder. When he indicates it was in a backpack that he carries with him, he calls himself homeless. That makes him a flight risk as there is no stable residence.
Defense attorney Larissa Benitez Morgan arguing her client has been helping police with the investigation.
He's been extremely cooperative with the police. He's been extremely truthful as to what he observed and what he saw happen and then what he did afterwards. He is unable to post any type of bond. Again, he is eligible for a public defender.
Court documents indicate that Cook and 19-year-old Daniel Tate met McKay on Facebook July 23rd, then arranged to meet her in person across the street from Tate's grandmother's home located on Sheridan Road. It was along the lakefront where it's alleged Tate strangled McKay, then later held her head underwater several minutes. Cook is alleged to have helped get the body in and out of the victim's trunk. His preliminary hearing is a week from today. Tate remains jailed on $20,000 bond in an unrelated case, could be facing those homicide charges soon. A dead crow found in Racine County tests positive for the West Nile virus. A central Racine County Health Department news release says it's the first bird to test positive for the virus in the county since the testing began this year on May 1st. The positive test means that residents of the county need to make sure you take precautions to avoid mosquito bites. Those skeeters can transmit the disease. Quick Trip announcing July the 19th it was going to buy all 34 of Middleton-based PDQ's Wisconsin stores, including the one in Kenosha. And PDQ has now informed the state that most of its 313 employees are going to be laid off starting the week of October the 9th. It is unclear if the affected stores will remain open or close temporarily as they are converted over to Quick Trip stores. After about 45 minutes of questions and answers last night, the Kenosha City Council finally chose former Alderman Bruce Fox to fill the remainder of Kevin Matheson's term in the 8th District, the latter having moved to the Village of Summers. Fox twice served on the council in the past. In his statement to the Alderman, he noted he has lived in his current home for more than 40 years.
We have seen many changes on our block, starting with us being one of the younger homeowners to now being part of the older group. We love our neighborhood and would like to see the homes and businesses flourish and be maintained properly. I would like the opportunity to work with the council and for the residents of the 8th District, especially during the upcoming budget process.
11 of the aldermen voted for Fox. 3 cast ballots for Martin Schierenberg, and there was 1 vote for Joshua Euler. Fox indicated during the Q&A he wasn't sure at this point if he would run for a full term on the council next spring, said he would wait and see. As for Matheson, he's been making noise about running for political office in Summers. The Milwaukee Catholic Archdiocese announcing earlier this year the consolidation of several Racine area schools into what's being called the Siena Catholic Schools of Racine, starting operations with the 2018-19 school term. And now comes word the leader is going to be Brenda White, the associate superintendent for schools within the Archdiocese. A news release indicating she's held the number 2 slot for almost 9 years out of her total 19 years spent in education. And it was her efforts that helped create the Siena Schools for Racine. White will become president of the organization September 1st. She'll report to a board of directors. The Racine Unified School Board last night debated for almost an hour how to move forward on proposed revisions to the employee handbook, which the teachers' union opposes, then barely agreed to a deferral, but directed the superintendent to, quote, establish an authentic collaborative process, unquote, with all the employee groups, come back with the results, but giving no specific date. Challenged by the occasional teacher comment out of the audience, board member Matt Hanser said, "We are micromanaging our administration.
I'm going to continue to vote no on deferring this action. I made a commitment. I have concerns. I've expressed them to Dr. Hawes. She responded to me. I accepted those responses, and I made a commitment to my 8 board colleagues, and that's what I'm going to stand by. And if individuals find that to be me towing the company line or kowtowing to somebody, that's unfortunate. 9 of us made a commitment to the community and to each other, and I believe that we have a responsibility to follow that commitment."
Steve Hooper said the collaborative process is more than just the teachers, though.
It's been no probably perfectly great direction for the superintendent. Maybe we failed that way getting there, but it's been discussed over and over again that, well, we want to see that the people were involved. We want to see the people were involved. It has come up at every single one of these meetings throughout all this. And that's just, to me, I don't feel that this the white pages of this handbook has been proposed with any of that in mind.
Brian O'Connell supporting deferral with a specific date, but he also said the burden should be on the employees.
People know the issues. I don't think the issues are obscured at all. Since this is being deferred at the request of the employees, the burden falls on the employees to come forward with recommended changes as soon as possible.
Final vote was 5-4. No deadline, just the deferral motion and that order to create an authentic collaborative process. Take note that the Real School's dedication ceremony has been announced. It'll be August the 30th at 4 p.m. That's out in Sturtevant. The ribbon cutting will be followed by guided tours of the facility. Caledonia's Village Board, without discussion last night, approving recommended changes to the existing ordinance on residency for sex offenders. Village Attorney Elaine Ekus noting the safe zone would change from 2,500 feet to 1,500 to allow more potential housing for sex offenders. Said the original domicile provision stays. It actually pertains to the support network for offenders, which can help against repeat activity.
Make sure that they have supportive networks and social interactions and systems in place, because that lends towards a sex offender being less likely to reoffend. So one of the goals of your ordinance as it's currently written, and that continues as part of proposed changes, is that there is a retention of the original domicile restriction, with the intention being that sex offenders are going to find those support systems in their home communities first.
The 1,500-foot safety zone, she said, keeping offenders away from areas where the kids congregate, a reasonable adjustment to current conditions.
That essentially results in 37.31% of your village being available for residency for sex offenders, and this percentage breaks down further in that 84.18% of the 37% is available for residential living, meaning single family or apartments living for sex offenders, and 15.82% of that 37% is business and commercial, which would not be appropriate for residential living.
The village to also establish a three-person appeals board, for which there will be a $25 fee to cover administrative costs. And Ekus told the board that this may not be the only revision to the ordinance. Other court rulings may warrant some additional changes. A request to exceed the Class A liquor license quota in the city of Racine is back on the 5:30 p.m. agenda for the Public Safety and Licensing Committee, which deferred action last month. The request is from Target to be allowed to sell hard liquor at its Durand Avenue store. And take note, if you play the lottery games, the Mega Millions jackpot for tonight, right now at $346 million. Powerball tomorrow night listed at $307 million. A Kenosha teenager drowned after jumping last night from the North Pier into the harbor. Police and fire rescue dispatched about a swimmer struggling with the water currents as he tried for the break wall with a friend. The friend made it back. The 18-year-old disappeared under the surface. A bystander jumped in for a rescue attempt, could not find the victim, however. Then the Kenosha County dive team came, so did the Coast Guard. They found him, but revival efforts proved unsuccessful. The incident mentioned at the city council meeting by Alderman Scott Gorton, who doesn't understand why life preservers cannot be located along the harbor area.
We have heard reasons why we can't, locally, federally, but I think we need to get some answers on how we can.
Gorton saying there's a need to do something to stop these incidents from happening every year. A musical event scheduled at the North Pier last evening was canceled because of that tragedy. The reward for information that helps to find a Racine County woman now missing over a month is up to $25,000. 59-year-old Lynn Rickard of Kansasville left her home the morning of June the 25th. She remains endangered, according to authorities, given that she's got a mental illness, needs oxygen, and she left her home either in pajamas or without clothes that day. Intense searches near her residence, as well as in neighboring Dover, Union Grove, and other communities, turned up nothing. The Racine County Economic Development Corporation will negotiate an engineering services contract with Smith Group JJR. This for the West Bluff Streambank Stabilization Project and the RouteWorks plan within the River Corridor from Marquette Street to the lakefront. City Purchasing Agent Kathy Casper noting, this is one of those busy times of the year for companies, which may explain why just one bid came back on the RFP.
I'm finding right now that a lot of our vendors, contractors, are a lot busier than they have been in the past. So they're kind of picking and choosing which projects that they want to reply to. We've worked with Smith Group JJR a few times in the past and have been very happy with the results. So they're a very qualified organization.
A Fund for Lake Michigan grant for $95,000 calls for the city to provide about $5,000, but no more than $20,000. With City Development Director Amy Conley pointing out, this also incorporates some related work that can be accomplished around the same time.
And so what we're trying to do is see if we can get one contractor to do soil samples and coring samples for both environmental remediation and stream bank stabilization. And the $20,000 is really the overlap between what it would cost for us to do core sampling for the whole thing. And often if we're able to combine those two projects together, we can save money on core sampling.
The RootWorks plan for the West Bluff includes green space and pathways, among other things. The recommendation goes to the Common Council next week for a final vote. Racine's Public Works and Services Committee, during its City Hall meeting at 5:30 p.m., scheduled to discuss, among other things, a donation of streetlight luminaires from Cree Lighting. The request of citizen Al Herman to get the streetlight put back by his home. It was removed by the city. That's in the 1900 block of Prospect Street. And a second change order on the new outdoor stage at Festival Hall on the lakefront. Passenger traffic at Mitchell International Airport went up by more than 3.2% in June, 630,740 passengers compared to 611,000 in June of last year and a little more than 591,000 two years ago. And some state assembly leaders on the Democratic side, including Minority Leader Peter Barca from Kenosha, sending a letter to Speaker Robin Voss urging Republican leaders to hold a joint finance committee hearing focusing in on the long-term fiscal implications of the Foxconn deal for state taxpayers. I'm Tom Karkel, WRJN News.